This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another day, another set of trade talks for the Trump administration. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. After peace broke out on one trade front yesterday, another dispute takes centre stage today. The future of NAFTA will be discussed by Mexico's Economy Minister Ildefonso Guajardo and the US Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Officials from Canada and Mexico held their own discussions yesterday, concluding they're optimistic about the US demand to renegotiate the pact. Donald Trump may feel his trade policy is working. After lots of tough talk, the presidents of the US and EU Commission were photographed hugging yesterday. They both agreed to work together to lower trade barriers. Talk of increasing tariffs on European-made cars has been shelved, for now anyway. Dr. William Arthur is an analyst at Oxford Analytica. Before we talk about NAFTA, what about that new US-EU deal?
I think it shows that the Trump way of negotiating does get results. For the United States, one of the things that seems to be the dynamic from my perspective is that the Trump administration will put tariffs in and it will talk very tough, and then the foe, to use the president's word, will come to negotiate. It doesn't mean that negotiations will be easy. It doesn't mean that negotiations are going to work out.
Well, another one of the trade fronts that the US is fighting is with NAFTA, and the Mexican economy minister is in Washington later today talking to the US trade representative.
He is, yeah.
Do you think they will make any progress on recasting what NAFTA will likely become?
In Mexico, there was the presidential election in the early part of this month. President Trump's welcomed that and has said that they're now actually talking and working on an improved NAFTA deal. So today we could see some progress, but I think it's more likely to be probably more of the same. I think it's more likely to be that we'll get an indication that further up ahead, there are certain things that, yes, they'll be able to agree. But there is so much detail that has to be gone through here that despite the political will and the political benefits to doing it, the economic realities are somewhat different.
Is there a strategy here from the US side on trade, or is Donald Trump just making this up as he goes along?
I don't think the president's making this up as he goes along. One of the things that really is his overarching principle is what he calls Make America Great Again, America First. What President Trump wants to do is to get jobs back into the United States, investment back into the United States, and go ahead and renegotiate trade deals with major trade partners and achieve what they call free and fair trade. The end state is somewhat of a mystery, but the thing is that it isn't just trying to renegotiate with existing markets, it's also trying to get new markets too.
Thank you, William.
Thank you very much.
Well, those trade tensions are being closely monitored by monetary policymakers. The European Central Bank will announce its latest interest rate decision soon. Lingering trade concerns are beginning to complicate efforts to end easy money policies, as the BBC's Victoria Craig explains.
In June, ECB President Mario Draghi said rates will remain at current levels, quote, through the summer of 2019. He signaled the end of ultra-low crisis-era interest rates could come as early as next fall, as the bank also weighs how it will wind down its bond-buying program. After a blockbuster 2017 in which wages rose and Eurozone GDP expansion registered its fastest pace since 2007, growth has so far cooled in 2018. And sentiment surveys show executives are becoming increasingly worried about trade headwinds. The closely watched Purchasing Managers Index for the Eurozone, which the ECB sees as foreshadowing future growth, dipped slightly in June, and a gauge of German business sentiment fell for the sixth straight month in July. While it's unlikely the ECB will announce any major strategic shifts in policy today, investors will parse Mr. Draghi's statement for any clues about whether the governing council sees the economy's soft patch as a short-term blip or something packing a more long-lasting punch. For an answer, though, investors might just have to wait until next week when they'll get the first glimpse at second quarter GDP. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Asian stocks mostly fell on Thursday, even as investors expressed relief at the easing of those US-EU trade tensions. European markets are up a little. Some of the biggest winners are car makers as the threat of new US auto tariffs recedes. Fiat, Porsche, Volkswagen and BMW are all up by between 1.5% and 4.5%. The former Pakistani cricketer Imran Khan is moving closer to becoming that country's prime minister. Early election results indicate Mr. Khan's PTI party is on course to become the single largest in parliament. His supporters have been celebrating, but his opponents have alleged widespread vote rigging and accused the powerful military of favouring Mr. Khan. The election board insists the vote was clean. Final results are expected this evening. Dr. Fazana Sheikh is a Pakistan expert at the think tank Chatham House in London. She says Mr. Khan faces big challenges, particularly economic ones.
He is determined to take a strong stance against what he calls the politics of nepotism and dynastic politics in Pakistan. He is also committed to delivering what he calls an Islamic welfare state. But of course, there are very great challenges, many of them stemming from the style of his own politics. He's going to find it extremely difficult to forge a consensus after an election in which he was responsible in many ways of lowering the tone of the election. Pakistan's economy is in dire straits. There is a currency crisis, a balance of payments crisis. Imran Khan is going to have to go to the IMF to seek assistance. And of course, if he wants to deliver on his welfare state, he's going to have to turn his mind to Pakistan's bloated military budget. Now, if the army has been responsible in some way for securing his success, I don't think they're going to take a happy view of his wanting to tamper with that bloated military budget.
Dr. Fazana Sheikh. And finally, the US Embassy in London's holding an online auction. Among the lots, 1,200 toilet rolls. Bidding starts at $132. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.